The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
From WBNE.
Howdy, yokes. Before we get started, we'd let you know that this episode and every episode of Bacon and Eggs is brought to you by our amazing listeners and our amazing supporters over on Patreon. If you love this show and you want to hit the new year off right supporting something, the best way to support us is to go to patreon.com/baconandeggs. Check out all the cool reward tiers we have over there. Maybe we'll even update some. Maybe you're like, actually, Tyler, I just checked. Well, check again. Maybe there's something new. You don't know. I don't know. Maybe there is. Anyway, check it out. Help us out. We've had a bunch of new patrons lately. If you recently pledged, thank you so, so much. If you've been there for a long time, thank you so, so much. Otherwise, thank you for pledging. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here and being a part of my life. Let's get on with the show. Howdy, yokes, and welcome back to Bacon and Eggs. I'm Tyler Carlin.
And I'm Ethan Edge Hill.
And today we're plugged in.
Or maybe we're just going to see the Oracle.
So run from the agents.
And get out of there.
Because today we're bringing you
The Matrix.
The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Matrix was directed by the Wachowskis, came out on March 31st, 1999, which a lot of people don't know is my mom's birthday. Not the 1999 part, but the March 31st part. That was 8,308 days ago. $63 million budget, $466.6 million at the box office. That's worldwide. 88% critic rating, 85% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 73 on Metacritic. Ethan, what did you think of The Matrix, or what did a professional think? What do you want to say about The Matrix?
Well, I've got a professional negative review here from Jonathan Rosenbaum at the Chicago Reader. And Jonathan Rosenbaum says, there's not much humor to keep it all life-sized, and by the final stretch, it's become bloated, mechanical, and tiresome. Tyler, do you have a professional positive review for me of The Matrix?
I do. I've got David Denby of The New Yorker. Back in 2013, David Denby says, this movie is nonsense. But it does achieve a brazenly chic high style. Black on black, airborne, spasmodic. Spasmodic?
Spasmodic at Yahoo.
No. That's what that guy says. He's at the New Yorker. First time watching The Matrix since when? When did you last watch?
Since we lived in port is when we last watched it, or when I last watched it, when you and I last watched it together.
Yeah. So I would say college times, 2013 to 2015. Oh, do I remember the college? I remember the important stuff. Real quick.
Yeah. Cause I bought the whole Matrix collection, including the Animatrix on DVD from Walmart from the $5 bin.
Can I show you something that I think you'll appreciate? Shirt.
Hey, that's cool.
Hey,
it's got leather patches on the arms, shirt. Listener.
Yeah, just wanted to. That's
a cool shirt.
You.
Tyler's got a cool shirt on. Imagine. Let me paint you a word picture. Imagine a cool shirt. No, but like plaid, not whatever you just did. Yeah, but like a cool plaid. Like a neat, like a modern dark plaid. With elbow patches.
Something you probably wouldn't
different
have
color,
up.
Different color elbow patches. Yeah, that's it. That's you're 90% of the way there. It'll get you there. Tyler, did you like The Matrix?
I did, yeah. Matrix.
Quantify, let's get very literally binary with it here. Is The Matrix a one?
Yeah, I think you have to see The Matrix.
Cool. On a less binary scale, what would you give The Matrix?
Okay. I love The Matrix. It holds a place in my film student heart. It, like, I was a freshman guy in a dorm room that had already seen The Matrix. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it'll always
I went to college having already seen The Matrix.
Yeah, so it'll always hold a special place in my heart. That being said, this time around, wasn't what I always loved it to be. I'm going to come in still pretty strong at a 78.
78, okay. Man, here's the real thing is I don't agree with Jonathan Rosenbaum's Chicago Reader, but like watching the first hour of this movie, I was like, this is a 100%er all day. And then at the time the movie was over, I was like, this is an 85%er all day. I got real, real bored somewhere there in the middle.
This is a lot of concept.
Yeah.
For
got real mutiny, bored there somewhere.
In for, the for a mutiny plot. I think what lost me is in 1999 up through 2015 when we watched in college, this was like a thought experiment of like, oh, what, like, and I feel like there was so much to be revealed every time I went through it. It was 85 year score, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There's so much to be revealed. Like there's little details I picked up every time. And like, I remember being a kid and watching this and not understanding that they were like, I didn't understand Morpheus' speech about them being unplugged. So, like, when that all made sense, it was exciting. I've seen this movie a ton.
Yeah, same.
And I'll say this time around, it's almost like the script has flipped. This has inspired so much fiction.
Sure.
In ways that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Watching this, I was reminded of Ready Player One, big time.
The entire Infinity Saga.
Wait, tell me that.
Well, Thanos' whole thing is to delete half the population so that humans can prosper.
Well, Agent Smith doesn't want them to prosper. He wants them to all be gone.
Right, but it's the same concept of humanity as a virus or cancer destroying the universe. And that there needs to be a cure, and I am that cure.
And I am that cure.
I am inevitable. Right, like it is, and the problem is it's not cute anymore the way it used to be either, right? Because now, like, humanity kind of sucks, just as a whole.
Well, like, I think humanity probably sucked then too, right? But like,
no, I had a lot more faith in humanity, and I think the world had a lot more faith in itself back in 1999.
I would agree with that, yeah. And I don't want to get, like, all sad and woe is the world as we discuss this.
No, but like, I think it is aged very interestingly well in that regard of like,
So I think Agent Smith had like an outlandish nihilist perspective in 1999. And now when you watch it, you're like, I know
more people than
I have fingers that believe what this man believes.
If I, in 1999, if I went around being like, yo, humanity is a virus, people would be like, whoa, we don't talk about humanity that way. We are sacred creatures. And then I could go on Twitter right now and tweet humanity is a virus. And people would be like, am I right? Right?
Yes.
Simply the fact that I can tweet that is like part of the thing, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I could tweet right now, humanity is a virus. And the entirety of Gen Z would be like, so right. Slay King.
Valid.
Whatever the Zoomers say now, I can't keep up with it. It's not cap. That's for sure.
The zeitgeist is too quick. Chair emoji.
People would be like, yeah, I see no cap.
What?
There's no cap.
Oh, yes. Correct. There is no cap. And I think that's challenging. Like, I don't know that. And maybe I was 7 in 1999 and an optimist. I could be wrong. I don't know what like the hacker community was like back then. I know people now who I think would have been that then, if that makes sense.
Well, the thing is with 1999 is, specifically when this movie was made and released, is Y2K had not happened yet. And there were...
Neither had 9/11.
There were people that legitimately... Well, that has nothing to do with hackers.
No, but it does... Like, there's some... Like, multiple times in this movie do flying things fly into buildings, which I thought was like...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't think you would do that if you made this in 2002.
Sure. If you made this in 2002, no. But if you made it in 2007, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Y2K had not happened yet, just the point I was making. And people legitimately thought that the computers were going to end the world that minute. Like, at the end of 1999.
Right.
Right? There was legitimate human fear that the computers were going to take over the world right at that moment. not even take over, but just like shut down and destroy everything.
The way the Wachowskis imagine,
it is so wild to me that you, a person of Polish descent, would look at that word and say it's Wachowski.
I could have swore I heard an interview with that.
I mean, it might be. Said. If you think that that's
like,
the case,
I could be so wrong.
If you're backing it up with something, then I'm fine with it. But like, I would never look at that word and think Wachowski.
Wachowski. So this is fun. So my mother's maiden name is Weinman. And for like years, we were like, well, Weinman's not Polish, but what is it? As though it's not like the most German word ever.
Yeah.
Weinman.
Weinman.
Yeah. it's German. I don't
know. Maria von Weinman.
Yeah. Anyway. It was the Wachowskis, the way that they imagine like the futuristic idea of connecting to the internet still involving like rotary phones and pay phones, and that's going to be this like haven of getting out, and you know, it's all connected to what connects us. Like, I think it's very smart and it's very clever, but that's just not my fear right now about the internet. Like, I guess the metaverse thing, right? Like, that's where we're at, is like Mark wants us to live in the metaverse.
Right.
That's his long-term goal.
Right. And Boston Dynamics is constantly like just like teasing their robots, like pushing them over and kicking them and stuff, like on the internet. And they're like posting videos and be like, LOL, look at this robot.
Look at this dumb robot. Look what we did. Look what we made it do.
Right.
Oh, and, God.
You know, and every time that they post one of those videos, I'm like, this is a little bit too, it's a little bit too every sci-fi for me.
Yeah.
Like Isaac Asimov is not happy with you, Boston Dynamics. You're breaking some of the laws here.
But so, I love the thought experiment that this movie provides. We had some listener reviews that I wanted to bring up because I expected this to be, I will say this, the reception from our listeners was not what I expected.
Okay.
Let me log in Discord here and get some listener reviews.
Well, and this is the thing, is it has, The Matrix has so nicely, you know, it is nicely evolved since it was made from like kind of cerebral type dude bro movie, not even cerebral, but like kind of like quasi deep dude bro movie, into like great late 90s period piece. That's a real thinker, a real nice thought experiment made by two trans women. That, and like, there's a lot of dialogue in the movie. You know, the government's just constantly referring to Neo by a name that he does not choose.
Yeah.
And like, you view it through the 2021 lens and it's all just packed in there. And you're like, wow, there are layers here that we were not equipped to understand in any way in 1999.
No, and even
just in the last, like, you know, since I watched it the last time, right?
Yeah, and it's down to like the way that we view ourselves, and it's a surprisingly diverse group. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like, yeah, like Tank and Dozer are not white. Like the only other white dude in the, well, there's a few white dudes in the crew. They're all like kind of skeevy in some way, like Mouse is like a perverted computer programmer, and Cypher is obviously the villain, and Smith is the villain, and Neo is, well, he's Neo, right? I mean, he's Jesus. He's not the villain, but yeah, I want to read some listener reviews.
Go for it.
Liam 2.0 on Discord says, 56 out of 100, the visual effects don't hold up, the blatant metaphors don't hold up, the acting doesn't hold up, and therefore the movie doesn't hold up, which is a very negative score.
Yeah, I actually, there were some effects definitely where I was like, okay. Like anytime the agents do anything, like take over somebody or whatever, like that effect is horrendous.
Oh, I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, really? No, you're categorically incorrect about that,
but I bet I am, but I just watch it and I'm just like, ooh, here we are now. It's like, to me, it's the same thing as in White Christmas when they end up on a soundstage instead of in the, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just part of the period. It's, I don't know. To me, it didn't take anything away from me.
I mean, that's fine. Like, but I'm getting tired of that as a viewpoint in society. Like, I think things are allowed to age poorly, and we're getting so into this, like, you can't be critical in any way, like of anything that people like, right? Like, you can't criticize a Disney movie at all anymore in any single way whatsoever for any reason, or people will literally crucify you. So like, I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing out the fact that the visual effects have not aged particularly well, especially for a movie that was like, again, one of those movies that was heralded as the sort of pinnacle of visual effect.
Yeah.
At the time. Really,
yeah. And a lot of the visual effects, I still think,
and that's
are
the
great
thing.
I love the way bullet time looks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they did a lot of the practical effects extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scene in the lobby of the building where all of the walls are exploding and everything, I thought held up extremely well because they just blew up a bunch of walls.
Yeah.
Right, like anytime you see old practical effects in movies, like I love, well, older practical effects in movies, I love how well they've held up and how much they were able to do without so much green screening.
Yeah.
But I think this movie has held up way better than it deserves to, honestly.
Yeah, I think what surprises me the most about this movie holding up is how the outfits don't take me out of it.
Right.
How is that possible?
Because it's not real.
I understand. But they are running around 1999 Chicago or whatever. And
New York.
Is it New York?
I mean, the towers are there.
Are they? I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Okay. That's like a whole big thing. But because they're still there in the post-apocalyptic hellscape.
I knew that was a thing. Yeah. And I was like,
but I think it's part New York, part Chicago, right? Like it's not real.
It's city.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got Carrie Ann Moss wearing like full leather, and at no point
that coat has a sheen to it.
At no point in the whole movie is it like, what are you wearing?
Yeah, because it's not real, right? Like, I actually think they did a great job of Trinity and Neo constantly being the, you know, the deja vu moment. They're the what thing that stands out, right? Like,
yeah.
They are constantly the thing that stands out in the Matrix.
Oh man.
And I think if you make it these days, you miss that, honestly. They haven't blended in too good.
Yeah, you do.
This movie could not under any circumstances be made past the year 2010.
I don't think it made past 2001. I think when you
not geopolitically, like just with the state of cinema.
Right. No, yeah, I agree with you there. But I think the geopolitical conversation is relevant because they call them terrorists, don't they?
Yeah.
That was a term I had never heard until 2001. Granted, I was 7.
Yeah, you were right? 7.
So like maybe I'm missing something there, but like I don't think we referred to Cold War Russia as terrorists.
No, but we referred to like the Oklahoma City bombers as terrorists.
Yes. Who's the Unabomber?
Ted Kaczynski.
Right, but like what is that?
He was a terrorist. I don't know what he did, honestly. I've seen his house. They had it at the museum.
They had his house?
Yeah, he lived in like a little tiny shack.
And they picked it up and brought it to the museum.
Yep.
Have I told you my sad museum story?
No.
So the museum at one point, I don't know when, had an exhibit that my father was in, right? Like there was like a clip of my dad because he had covered sort of been the Virginia Tech massacre, so
yeah.
2007. When I went to the museum, I don't know if like when I went there it had already passed or whatever, but they have this big area with like shoebox sized dioramas. They're not shoebox quality, they're extremely high quality, but it's kind of these like shelves with dioramas of all these big news events, and literally like everything that you can imagine is there that like is a, you know, hits the national news.
Yeah.
And literally it goes from like, that would have been April 2007, it goes from like February 2007, and then there's like a, we're working on this construction, October 2007, right where the Virginia Tech massacre, and that was when I visited. So I didn't get to see it. I think that's what his thing was. I don't know for sure.
Well, it's definitely not there anymore.
The museum's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one. I would love to know what they did with the giant section of Berlin Wall they had there.
Or Ted Kaczynski's house.
But yeah, he blew some people up.
Well, I don't like that. That's awful.
Yeah. He was a terrorist.
Yeah.
Terrorist was, especially pre-9/11, was a very interesting word because it, like, referred to mass murderers, but not with guns, usually, and also not serial killers, but also not war.
Yeah, you had to, do, like, a flash mob, but instead of a dance, it was a bomb.
Yeah. The point is to strike fear, to win by fear, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the agents aren't the good guys, right? Like,
no, they want to end the world.
Here's the thing, though, and you come across this a lot because people are like, oh, well, you know, the obvious Christian allegory in The Matrix, and like, Neo is Jesus. And yeah, you can look at it like that. But I think this is what is interesting about almost every depiction of every intersection of the hero's tale with Jesus is like, Jesus, yes, came back from the dead, right? Like, that's his whole story.
Yeah, but he would have pardoned the agents.
It's not even that. It's like Jesus didn't ride to Rome on a fiery steed and burn that bitch to the ground. He just went home.
Yeah.
He was like, cool, not dead anymore. Also, saved all your souls. Congratulations. But what Neo does, at least if I remember correctly, is burn Rome to the ground.
I mean, in this movie, he flies into another man's body.
Yeah. Jesus would not have done that.
Explodes him from the inside out.
Jesus would not have done that at all. Especially not to Judas.
Like, yeah, and then you're thinking like, oh, well, he's an agent. It's like, yeah, well, Jesus wouldn't have killed Peter that way, much less Judas. Although, hey, man, Peter did deny him 3 times.
Right, that's true. But that makes Peter Trinity, right? Like,
no, I think Morpheus is Peter.
Is Morpheus Peter? This is the problem with the Jesusical allegory, is that it breaks down pretty fast when they forget to codify the rest of the supporting characters.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jesus had a pretty big posse that he rode with, and those people have become important.
Okay, but have you read figures. The original canon? It's like Peter, who was also called Simon, spoke up. And then the next chapter is like Simon spoke up. It's always the same dude speaking up.
Sure. But like they point out who is Jesus. They don't point out who is Simon Peter. They don't point out who is.
I'm willing to bet. Listen, if The Matrix is fan fiction that Jesus and Simon fell in love, I can work with that. If you're telling me that Morpheus is John the Baptist, I can work with that.
The problem is Cypher as Judas, right? Like,
oh, that's the one I think makes the most sense and works very well.
I mean, it works very well, but like he can't be Judas. Judas is a better character than that.
Judas.
And maybe The Matrix is the one time this actually works, but like usually they underdevelop the Judas character.
Yeah, I actually think Judas here had some pretty clear motivation. We're like in the Bible, it's not like the Romans are like, hey, we'll give you 32 pieces of silver and your family back.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, we'll just give you the silver.
Yeah, Judas really got the bad end of that stick.
It's not the best look through time.
Yeah. But like, also, he knew it had to be done, right? Like,
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure at that point, Jesus would have gone up to Judas and been like, hey, like a real Snape and Dumbledore thing.
Yeah.
Gone up to Judas and been like, hey, J-Man, listen, so people are going to be asking about me. You gotta point me
this
out.
This is what happens. Hey, J-Man.
Yeah. And you gotta give me a big old kiss right in front of all the cops.
In front of everybody. Give me a kiss.
Pete Davidson as Jesus. That's what I want to see.
We're really digging into the old. But religion has come up, and we're not gonna get into what you should or should not believe, but religion has been the topic on my mind lately of like...
Well, I mean, Neo stopped Y2K, so you should absolutely believe in Neo.
And if Neo is an anagram for God, no, for the one, and God is an anagram for dog, then dog... is God. Where is dog? I don't have any dogs in here.
I don't either.
Yeah. Sorry. I was gonna play out like
Simba.
Simba. Our friend's mom just got a dog named Simba.
That is true. Sometimes when Pickles is being extra nippy, I hold him up and yell Simba. Well, don't yell it. I say Simba and like hold him over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is he like, this sucks?
No, he does like a swimmy motion with his front paws. And he just kind of looks at me like, man, he got to spend 4 days at grandma's house this weekend. He loved it and terrorized their other dogs.
Oh, poor other dogs.
I mean, one of them had fun, but he's just, you know, he's a handful.
What kind,
right?
of, what kind of dogs are they?
They're Dachshund Mini Pin Mixes.
Oh, sick, dude. You use dogs?
Do you remember The Matrix Has You, the Flash video about The Matrix?
Almost definitely not, but...
I think about it all the time. I think about it more than I think about the actual Matrix. To the point where, like, I could quote an embarrassing amount of that. But also, every time I watch The Matrix, I'm just struck with how much of the dialogue they actually just used for this Newgrounds Microsoft Flash video.
Dude, it's always surprising.
Because the whole... The whole spoon conversation takes place word for word in this.
There is no spoon.
There is no spoon. Except, I mean, it's a much sillier voice, but...
Yeah, it's like the grunts. Like, there is no spoon.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Yeah. It was the same thing with freaking... There's something about Halo 2 where they're like, change it from warts to English. Like, yeah. That happens in the game.
Yeah. the architect is the like Woody doll with a pull string. It's like, I created the Matrix concordantly. The problem is choice.
We do get a peek at some greater Matrix lore watching The Matrix, which I think
no,
is cool.
No, you don't say.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I think if they were like, hey, we're going to make this movie and we're going to do this thing. I really like the world building they've got going on right here. I think it's funky, fresh, and free. But
I think they do a fantastic job of introducing the premise and, like, sucking you into this movie without, like, naming really any characters. You're like, you don't care about who Trinity is, right? But she's, like, cool enough at the very beginning that you're like, I get it, man. This girl's something else. I don't know. I just think they do a really good job introducing the movie. The first 20 minutes of it sells me.
Here's my thing about this whole entire movie. Trinity and Neo fell in love?
When?
When?
When? Because he was asleep for most of it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like anytime he's not in, he's out, right? Ugh.
Well, and he snaps long enough to grow hair. What is she just sitting there like, oh, Neo, my handsome man.
My handsome, muscly man. You know, the Oracle said I'd
fall. I mean, to be fair, listen, if you are Trinity and you are at least semi into men and you're on the boat, the ship with that group of people, you know, because you can't go for Tank or Dozer, right? Because then the other one would be upset. You can't go for Morpheus because he's basically your dad and you got no other choices.
What about the woman in the red dress?
Well, she's not real.
No, but I think
the woman in the red dress, look, either the world is real or the Matrix is real. The woman in the red dress is for sure not real. She takes place in the construct.
Yeah, she is in the metaverse. She is simulation.
Yeah. That being said,
Mouse is a weird character to include.
Is a weird character to include. Yeah, absolutely. He has no bearing on the movie whatsoever.
He dies. Yeah. Right? And you're like, oh.
And if it was like, because it was clearly an emotional moment for Tank, but like, because you see him being like, no, like we couldn't save him. But we never come back to that, right? Like then we don't get out of the Matrix and Trinity is like, I'm sorry, Tank. There's nothing you could do because everything else goes to hell before they get everybody out. Like a bunch of people die, including Dozer. So like, I don't really know what his death achieves. Like he does not obey the Chekhov's gun principle at all.
No, I guess the only thing is like, oh, by the way, the agents will kill you. But it's like, because he's
there's so many other people. He had to unplug a couple people.
That's the only one that an agent kills.
I know, but like, what I'm saying is they could have killed Apoc or Switch.
Right, right.
Right, like, we didn't need to watch, we didn't need to watch John Leguizamo kill, like, pull the plug out of multiple people, right? Like, we get the point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's something I'm missing when they go to Zion. And, you know, Neo has to talk to Mouse's dad or whatever.
Does that happen?
I don't know. If you think I remember what happens in either of the sequels, you're sorely mistaken. I remember a big party.
Yeah, I think the second one, like, rolls out and it's like 25 minutes of party.
Yeah, there's 25 minutes of rave. And then Neo goes back in the Matrix and everybody is Smith.
Yes.
Like, there are no other agents anymore.
Let me ask you a question, Ethan.
Because he is the virus. He's literally a computer virus.
He's an agent.
No, yeah, but he's like an agent within the agents, right? He is.
No, yeah. So that's the thing is like you got to remember Morpheus is explaining World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, you're plugging into a video game.
Right. Cypher has a point for sure about it is just as real for everybody that lives in it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, and I guess that's sort of the thing is it's definitely one of those cases of like the humans have to be free because they have to be free, right? Like freedom is the most important thing.
But is there freedom? There's an oracle.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is like the problem is choice, right? They have to be able to make their own choices,
right?
And even Morpheus gets Neo there with because that's not choice, right? You can't go take the blue pill and everything will go back to normal, but you're still being hunted. Right. Take the red pill and it might be better. I don't know.
I'll try.
Yeah, right. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, you can't ever go back after the fact.
Well, yeah, because you can't forget.
Right. But, like, it's not like he led with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Morpheus, as far as, like, telling homeboy what's going on, not the best.
Not the best, no.
He's like, I can't explain it to you. I can only show it. And it's like, you could have explained it a little bit.
You could have explained it at all.
Yeah. Instead of being like, you are a Duracell battery. Check this out, baby.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What is going on?
What is going on? Here's the biggest surprise for me about The Matrix and about the way this movie is aged. You know that scene where Neo gets to his desk and the delivery man shows up immediately and gives him a package with a phone in it?
Yeah.
The FedEx logo has not changed at all.
No.
Like, if Neo had to go get that phone out of a drink machine, we've been on like the 75th Pepsi iteration since 1999.
Yeah.
But the FedEx logo has not changed at all.
Well, they're not investing in marketing. They're investing in getting you there. Okay.
That's true. It is a good logo. It's got the arrow in it.
Yeah. And I think they were like, well, Tom Hanks did that Castaway movie and didn't even ask us. I guess we'll just leave it.
No, I don't think that's true.
No, it is. They didn't say anything to FedEx.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They just like did it. I mean, they must have said like, hey, I need boxes.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could go to like a FedEx Kinko's to get that.
Kinko's. Now it's just the FedEx store.
Now, yeah, now they did away with Kinko's. You know, John Kinko, when he sold it, was like, wow, FedEx Kinko's. That's going to look great for years. Everybody will call it that.
No partner's desk. One desk. One partner. The bank casino.
FedEx Kinko's.
Yeah. John Kinko's over there like, you shook. Who's the Sinatra of logistics? You shook Bezos' hand.
You shook the Postmaster General's hand.
There's a code among men who shook Jeff Bezos' hand. Reuben!
I want to ask you, is Carrie Ann Moss's name a Mandela effect? Has that always been her name?
It has always been her name.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Is there any chance that in my mind, she just is Trinity and always has been?
I mean, I guess, but like that's her name.
Is she in other stuff?
I think so. I saw her in something.
She's in Memento. She's in this kind of stuff. Disturbia. The Chum Scrubber.
You can't just say words like that to me.
She's in the Chum Scrubber with Ralph Fiennes and Jamie Bell.
She was in Jessica Jones for 4 years.
That show was on for 4 years.
Apparently. Yeah, she plays Jerry Hogarth in that that universe.
So let me ask you this, Ethan. Very early on in the movie, Trinity tells Neo via the computer to follow the White Rabbit, which I thought was going to be, like, I remember when I first saw this movie very distinctly being like, that is going to be a line that sticks. Follow the White Rabbit. Apparently it's from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, it is. It's what we call a reference in the business.
Yeah, but I thought people were going to reference that back to The Matrix my whole life. Anyway, they go to a club where Rob Zombie is playing.
Yeah, Dragula open parentheses, club mix, close parentheses.
Yeah,
my great entire song, by the way.
Yeah, it's a banger. I've always loved that song. My entire life up until this very minute, I've assumed that when you say you're playing in bars, that's the bar you're playing.
That's the bar?
Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, we usually don't play in like nightclubs.
Usually or never.
We don't play in halfway to Peabody's.
No. Grungier, darker, grosser than Peabody's.
I mean, like,
I guess I've never been to Peabody's. I'm thinking of Lucky's.
Yeah, no.
But Peabody's for sure isn't like black leather. Black leather on people who wear black. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like black leather on preppy girls.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not, we don't play that type of music is the thing. We're not DJs, right? Like, we're not playing Scotty Doesn't Know Euro Club Mix. We're playing Scotty Doesn't Know Regular Version.
Sans Matt Damon,
yeah.
Do you think Matt Damon would come play a show with you?
No. No, I don't. I think he's probably busy. And if he's not busy, he has earned his not busyness.
If you are freaking the lead singer of Lustra and you're sitting there like, wow, they're going to put our song in this movie. Like they asked us to play this song. We flew out here. We're doing the thing.
Everybody gets like, to be in it except me because I've been replaced by Matt Damon.
Who's not even singing. It's my voice.
And for some reason, he's a skinhead.
And I don't get to make out with Fiona.
Yeah. Oh, man. Next week, I'm picking an X.
Euro trip.
That's a movie I refuse to revisit.
That's what I don't want to tell the listeners to watch.
Simply refuse to revisit that because I'm sure that it is bad and racist.
And not good in many ways.
Not good in many ways. You made out with your sister, dude.
Who is the Fred Armisen is the creepy guy on the tunnels?
Muscusi. I mean, the whole premise is that he thinks she's a dude and is upset about it.
Yeah, that's Mika. Oh, man. Classic. Next week on Bacon and Eggs, The Chum Scrubber.
No, I don't even want to know what it's about.
37 tomatometer.
I'll tell you what, though, like when you get this whole scene with Choi buying the disc from Neo and then him and DeJour and Neo going to the nightclub, like that's not how movies work. That is bad plot development.
Why do you say that?
Because like that whole scene in Neo's life is like it sets up the wrong movie.
What that like? I do like the assertion that mini discs were like digital drugs.
Yeah. But like that, we don't get that movie, right? Like, because he's not part of that underground. He's not part of that world.
Well, he is. He's. I think what you're seeing there is
what I'm seeing there is a whole scene from a different movie.
No, you're seeing. Yeah, you're seeing Walter White like go where the meth heads hang out.
No. I'm not talking about content-wise. I'm talking about like that scene is not The Matrix. Like,
correct.
That is a scene about a move about a hacker that takes down a digital drug empire.
Yeah, they've got the line in there where he's like, if anybody sees you.
Yeah, I get it. You don't exist. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And like Choi and DuJour aren't even at the club, right? They never show back up.
Those are some, my mom wouldn't have wanted me to hang out with them.
But there could have been, there's a million other ways for Trinity and Neo to meet and Neo to be late to work, right? Like there's a million other ways.
I think you could have just skipped him, you could have said follow the white rabbit.
The only purpose is to set up that like, you know, you feel pretty Wonderland down here, Alice, line that Morpheus says.
Yeah. But I think you very easily could have skipped them at the door entirely and just been like, this is Neo doing some hacking and putting stuff on a mini disc and then putting it in a carved out Bible. And then this is Neo at the club.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need anybody to show up at his door.
Yeah.
So their names are Bok Choi and DuJour.
Yeah.
Like food.
What do you think DuJour means?
The day.
Yeah.
But it's like soup DuJour.
Well, yeah, but it just means of the day. Like,
I know, but like the other guy's name is Choi.
Yeah.
Like T as in Go Wildcats.
What?
Choi sounds like Troy.
Oh. But like the problem is I want to watch the movie that follows that scene, right? I want to watch the movie that has a scene that actually takes place in that club.
I want to see the movie. I want to see a little bit more development on Neo to find out why is he seeking Morpheus and is he this sort of digital pirate in a good way?
Yeah, no, I know. I agree wholeheartedly. And the problem is that is not really the point of the movie.
No, but it kind of is. Like when Smith first sits him down and takes his mouth away, he's like, during the day, you're Thomas Anderson. You do this, that, and the third. During the night, you've broken every web law we have a law for.
But the point is solely that he is asking the question, right?
Yes.
Like anybody who becomes self-aware enough to ask the question, that's all they need. To look for the answer is all they need.
Correct.
They're not looking for Morpheus, they're looking for an answer. So like why Neo is doing that doesn't really matter because like he was always going to do that, right?
Right, but I mean, aren't you a little bit interested to know if like the laws Neo was breaking was...
No, I'm very interested to know that. That's what I'm saying is like they make that part of Neo's life too interesting to just swoop away with it.
Yeah. Well, I also, so maybe it's because in 1998, when they were writing this movie, there was no concept for like, what can you even hack? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like now, Neo would be...
People had gone to jail for like phone freaking.
Right, but now Neo would be wiping out, not somebody's student loans, Neo would be wiping out like all student loans.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's not Ferris Bueller. He's V.
Right.
Yeah, and they have that, first of all, when he says, you're Trinity who took down the IRS D-base, I wanted to kill him.
I was like, shut up, nerd.
Like, it's just as easy to say database.
Yeah, but they didn't know, man.
Like, it's not the same amount of syllables, but it's the same amount of, like, time that it takes you to get through that word.
Yeah, but this is back in the day, bro. There was no...
Also, what did she do to the IRS D-base? Did she just delete taxes? Like... Or was it one of those just like hacker things that was like, I'm in. Here's proof.
I did it. I can do it.
I took it down.
What does that even mean?
What are you taking down? Also, could somebody do that today?
What, and get rid of taxes?
Yeah, dude. Just like delete the IRS for a couple days. That'd be hilarious.
I think it would be catastrophic on a global scale.
Nah, I'd be fine.
Being honest with you.
They'd be fine. It's not like they do anything in this part of the year.
Well, we're getting close. We're like 3 days away.
No, we're not. We're before... We're 4 months away.
Well, I mean, from the end of filing, you can file, I think, on the first.
The point I'm making is that, like, they don't have a job until people start filing because they don't do their job. Their only job can and should be tell you how much taxes you owe.
Ethan, then how would TurboTax make money?
They shouldn't make money.
But what about Intuit, Ethan? How would they make money?
I don't care. Also, doesn't Intuit own Quicken, and Quicken owns like banks.
Oh, it all goes back to Intuit. Yeah.
Yeah. Go back in time and punch JP Morgan in the face.
There is a throwaway line in this movie.
Hey, get closer to your microphone.
There's a throwaway line in this movie where it happens in Hawkeye, and I'm thinking of that. So don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be 100% honest with you. I watched Hawkeye last Thursday, so you might have to remind me of things that happened in Hawkeye when we record that.
I watched it just now. Just now.
I watched it last Thursday.
Let me ask you this, Ethan. Did you have a good Christmas?
I did. Did you have a good Christmas?
I certainly did.
Tell me about it.
I got this shirt.
That's lovely. Every time you show me that, just like the way the camera works, I'm like, oh God, there's something wrong with the shirt. And then I'm like, oh no, elbow patch.
No, elbow patch. Yep, elbow patch. Got this shirt. What else did I get? I got a skateboard.
You got a skateboard?
I got a skateboard with a mudkip on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like one of the decorative skateboards.
Yeah, well, I guess technically, are they skateboards? It came with longboard wheels.
Hey, Tyler.
Yeah.
You're 29.
So?
So it's a skateboard. Just, you're beyond the point where you're going to distinguish that.
Yeah. I do want to ride it. I do want to get some better bearings and ride it. Can I do that? Is it allowed?
I mean, yeah, it's allowed. You might hurt it.
I don't think I'll hurt it. I am chonkier than when I last went longboarding. So, I mean, if I just go to the Greenway, are you allowed to ride skateboards on the Greenway?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I just go to the Greenway and just like coast.
Just cruise,
do a little bit
You will rapidly discover that, not even that it's hard, just that like Newport News was a lot flatter than you gave it credit for.
I believe that.
Of like, you feel like the Greenway is flat. It's not. It's not that flat.
And when you go downhill, you go fast.
You go fast. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you go uphill, you go nowhere.
You go nowhere. Gravity.
Gravity.
I just had a flash of Will Wheaton from the Ready Player One audiobook going, Verb, you're what's happening.
Verb.
How was Finn and Olivia's Christmas?
It's great. Olivia got a scooter.
Which got is a scooter?
Like
a
yeah.
Like a Razor scooter?
Not Razor. No, it's got Minnie Mouse on it.
Okay, but like that.
Like, yeah, like that sort of
stuff. That concept.
It's got three wheels. Yeah. What else?
Oh, it's got three wheels.
Yeah.
That's a tricycle.
No.
Well, it's not a cycle, so it's so a tri.
Like a
truder, yeah.
That sounds like a dirty word.
When is she going to get one of those Strider bikes?
She has one. She had one when she was born.
I didn't know that.
Yep. We've never pulled it out, though, mostly because I think there's going to be some assembly required, and that is a barrier I simply cannot get over.
Sure you can.
I know I can, because I built a skateboard today, but yeah, that's the story on that. What else did my children get? A lot of clothes. I think Olivia got, like, a magic wand. That was good.
Does she, like, know?
No.
Does she get Christmas, like...
More than she did last year. She doesn't quite have, like, a concept of Santa or anything yet.
Okay.
But she does know, like, open presents.
Okay.
And she gets sidetracked pretty quick. She opens one that she, like, likes or wants to play with, and she's like, we're done. I have what I want.
That's it.
And that present was for George this year, which is her cousin. So.
Oh, no.
Whoops.
Whoops. What did George get that she wanted?
It was like a little, I think it was Paw Patrol, but it was like a little...
Man, fuck Paw Patrol.
I mean, okay. It was a little steering wheel, and then if you turned the steering wheel, it was a nice little like wooden thing. But if you turned the steering wheel, there was a little car on a track that was spinning.
That's cool.
And you turn the steering wheel to like stay on the track. It was really cool. I don't think she understood how it worked, but I did, and I thought it was very neat. I think she just liked turning the steering wheel.
I know, I've played with several of her toys before and been like, I am more entertained by this than you've probably ever been.
She did get the one that she was really excited about. She got these little, like, I don't know what they're called, but they're little magnet blocks that you can, like, they're like squares and triangles and you can, like, build stuff out of them.
Oh, neat.
She likes that. And she's learning, like, new words every day, which is stressful.
Like, why is that stressful?
Because now she, like, says stuff.
Like, full sentences and...
I mean, we're, like...
Well, yeah, I mean, like, not...
Yeah.
Grammatically, but like she can like make a complex thought.
Oh yeah, she'd be like, daddy, get baby bubble bath. Me.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts, dude. I also want a bubble bath.
Yeah, but I don't get to take a bubble bath. I get to bathe my children, which is fine. It's fun.
I mean, you could take a bubble bath, except you can't because you decided to buy a house that has a shower in the master.
I mean, I do all of my showering in the guest bathroom.
Do you really?
I'd say I'm at like 60% right now. I think this is probably the biggest thing I did for Christmas. I got a new shirt from a band called Brand called Vuori. And I already owned sweatpants from them. And I think I officially decided that, like, for the next 12 months, when I buy clothes, it's exclusively going to be through this company.
I have seen their sweatpants advertised to me.
They are the most comfortable clothes I've ever owned.
Okay. See if they'll sponsor us.
I know that they have like an affiliate program, so we can look into that. We can also look into the, you know, they pay us thing. We don't really make their kind of content.
Yeah, we're not like an activeness fitness driven podcast.
Getting into 2022, get fit, get yoked with bacon and eggs.
Get yoked with bacon and eggs. Man, I was like, maybe I'll buy some of these sweatpants. That's a lot of money for sweatpants.
No, yeah. So what I think worth every penny.
Okay, cool. That's all I needed.
But I think what I've decided is like I'm just gonna stop buying as much stuff.
You got the performance joggers.
I'll find out exactly which ones I have. I think they sell them at Fleet Feet if you want to go like try them on.
Oh, okay. I don't even have any desire to try them on. I just want to buy them and not have to have them shipped to me.
Yeah, you can do that too. But yeah, no, I think I want to move to like I wear these clothes. You know what I mean?
The capsule wardrobe thing.
The capsule wardrobe. That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
I don't think I can like get it down to like I have a button up shirt. I'm just not that person. I'm not interested in that.
I've also in 2022 thought about the idea of like, I have a Monday fit and a Tuesday fit and a Wednesday fit and a Thursday fit and a Friday fit.
And that's it?
Well, no, just like, and that's...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's what I wear, like, just seeing how that works for me.
Uh-huh. So something, this is actually my biggest New Year's resolution. I was thinking about this earlier. I'm going to no longer be surprised by Virginia weather.
Just going to take it as it comes, play it as it lies?
I'm just going to there's no freaking, every freaking year I'm like, wow, pretty fucking warm on Christmas. Shut up, Tyler.
Well, because it's not every year though, because last year it literally snowed.
Right, but like, it doesn't matter. Like, oh, it's pretty cold on Halloween, pretty warm on Halloween. It is what it is. Sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's hot. And it can be for any reason, any time of year. I guarantee you, come like February, it'll be like, oh, well, we got a hurricane over on the coast. Because you do these February hurricanes. Don't you know about February hurricanes? And I'll be like, you know what? I'm not surprised by this anymore.
The problem is you can decide all you want not to be surprised by Virginia weather, but the object permanence that we as humans have over weather is too great for Virginia. Because like, if it's 60 today, you'll wake up in the morning and your brain will assume it's going to be 60 tomorrow when it could be 11.
Yeah.
And you could walk outside and have it be 11 degrees and you're wearing like pajama pants and a tank top.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, dogs, please pee faster because it's cold.
It's cold.
Because I've had this happen when I was dog sitting for you, where like I woke up at whatever time Sawyer wakes up and just like slapped on whatever clothes I had previously the night before when I took him out and woke up and stepped out onto the back porch at your old house and was like, ah, concrete cold, concrete cold, concrete cold. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because we're just not going to be surprised by it anymore. I've spent years. I've lived in this town.
That means you're going to have to be one of those guys that like wakes up in the morning. And you're like, good morning, Alexa. What's the temperature?
I've been doing that for 2 years now.
Every day?
Just about, yeah.
Why?
So I have to go to the office.
Okay, but like you live in Virginia.
Exactly.
You're supposed to go outside and be mad about whatever weather it is.
I'm just not going to be surprised anymore.
Why don't you just move to somewhere like with consistent weather, like New York or something?
I don't think I could do that because if I moved to New York,
well, I think you could do, it sounds like Virginia doesn't need you anymore.
I'd move to New York.
You're not participating.
It would snow, and I would be like, oh man, I'm not really good at driving.
You're gonna need to turn your Cardinal in at the DMV as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm not really good at driving in the snow, and my car is not equipped for it. I've got the front wheel drive. Oh, you can't drive in the snow? I've been driving in the snow since I was 4 years old. You know, where we're from, everybody just knows how to drive in the snow. And I'd be like, well, actually, I mean, you guys really have the infrastructure for it. You have salt and you have trucks and like, and it's also part of your culture. So it's a really normal for you to know how to drive in the snow. Where I'm from, we get a bad snow like once every 3 or 4 years and you just don't go. Like you just, this town just shuts down. It's like, oh, so you live in like Florida. And it's like, no, I live in Virginia, but it's not like what you think. You know, like, I mean, we're not like a hot weather state. Like I get snow. I understand the concept, right? But we're also not like,
we just don't drive effects. In it.
Right. I also like, yeah, like, so it's not like I'm like, oh, I've never seen snow before. Like I definitely have. I hate this conversation.
I can drive pretty confidently in the snow, but I can drive pretty confidently in the snow only because everybody else just stays home.
Yeah. I don't want to be going to like work in the Buffalo snows. If it snows here, I can get from my house to Kroger. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I don't like it when Midwest people are saying things like ranch is our brand. Shut up. Ranch is everybody's brand. Everybody likes ranch. You can't just say, oh, delicious food is our thing. Everybody likes delicious food. Shut up. Such a Midwestern problem. It's not a Midwestern problem. It's delicious. Everybody likes ranch. There's no problem here.
Yeah, but the Midwest doesn't have anything else to identify themselves by, so they're just clinging to random crap.
Ah, they could, man. Cincinnati Reds? Mid.
Mid, yeah. Yo, somebody Cincinnati told me, Reds haven't won a World Series since 1993! Mid!
Somebody told me to get into the Denver Nuggets. I was talking about how I wanted to get into basketball. And I was like, man, that's a team I could give my whole life and soul to.
Why?
Tell me why. And, well, that's what I said. I said, tell me why the Denver Nuggets, and they didn't respond. So I think that means they're out.
I think you should give it all to the Portland Trailblazers.
So the Trailblazers are not on my list simply because of their logo. It's stupid.
Oh, I like their logo. They got Damian Lillard.
See, now we're talking.
They have one superstar. You got to have at least one superstar on the team. The Denver Nuggets, they got, Nikola Jokic? They don't have a superstar.
So I've narrowed it down a little bit. Nuggets aren't really on my list. Bucks are the highest on my list, but what's pulling them down is that, like, You can't decide to be a Bucks fan this year. That's exactly right. I like the Hawks. I've always liked the Hawks. But they're Atlanta. Matt Ryan plays in Atlanta. And I have a hard time separating that feeling, you know? The Wizards, obviously, because they're Washington.
Yeah, that's gonna be a bad time for you, buddy.
God, I know, right? Like
that team's got nobody, probably.
The Grizzlies.
Should be a Brooklyn Nets fan.
So, like, the Brooklyn Nets, that's an easy choice. I'd say they're on my list. I don't know, man. It's tough. It's a tough choice. But then, like, if I go to Kyle, my brother-in-law, who's, like, an actual basketball fan, and his Instagram handle is KDittoBulls, he'll be like, you should just be a Bulls fan. And Kyle's compelling. Kyle's a big Michigan fan in NCAA football. I would say I'm kind of a Michigan fan now.
Ew.
I know. That's what I said. But he's just so excited. When they win, he's happy. And when he's happy, I'm happy.
I would rather be an Ohio State fan.
Oh, God, no.
They at least have the cool marching band.
Bama has a cool band.
Yeah.
Roll Tide, baby.
But they don't do the thing.
The O-H-I-O thing?
Yeah.
I just, Ohio. Somebody came up to me and was like, Tyler, let me tell you about the Cleveland Cavaliers are your team.
No, like, they're not. God,
they're not my
they're
team.
They're not. Should be a Miami Heat fan, man.
I know. That's what the I was Heat's thinking.
Cool.
Like, the Heat?
Miami Heat's cool. Heat's they do cool. Those, they do those Vice City jerseys every year.
Yeah, that's cool. Golden State's cool. Lakers are obviously cool. Lakers are too cool. You can't be a Lakers fan. That's like being a Cowboys fan or a Yankees fan. You know, it just doesn't count.
Yeah, the NBA is a league that I've never seen a point in allying myself with a team in literally any way.
Because the players don't.
Right. Yeah, it's about the players.
Right. And like James Harden doesn't care about Houston because he's not even there anymore.
No, he plays in Brooklyn.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I do like James Harden, man.
I do too. Although, isn't like the whole league like conspiring against him? Wasn't his thing that he could cause fouls and now they're just not doing it anymore?
I don't know.
Basketball.
See, the problem is everything I know about the NBA is from playing 2K. So I don't like, I don't watch actual basketball. Like, so I don't know what happens in the actual NBA. I just know like players and stuff.
Yeah. Where are we? What are we talking about?
The Matrix.
Well, I know, but where are we in that discussion?
Well, I don't know. There was some basketball player that used to be called The Matrix.
Yeah?
I think so. Sean Marion. They used to call The Matrix.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
That was a nickname they gave him, the press gave him, like the announcers.
They were like, and here comes Sean Marion, The Matrix, baby.
Yep.
Coming out to shoot 3x3s. That's a Matrix in mathematics joke.
Played for the Phoenix Suns, the Miami Heat, the Toronto Raptors, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Joe Pantanillo, whatever his name is,
plays Pantaleano. Cypher in this movie.
Pantaleano.
Joey Pants. Plays
Joey Pants. We've made this joke before. He plays Cypher in this movie. Very Bill Burr energy. Very bad actor.
Yeah. He was great as Bruno in Encanto.
That was not the same dude.
Yeah, it was. No, it was John Leguizamo.
I know.
I got him mixed up.
Yeah, because earlier you said John Leguizamo, and I was like, I was not John Leguizamo.
I didn't say John Leguizamo earlier.
You said something earlier.
No, I didn't.
You said Joe Pesci or something.
No, I didn't.
What if Joe Pesci was in The Matrix?
As who?
As Neo.
As Neo? You think I'm the one?
You think I'm not the one? You're the one.
Yeah, I'm funny. Funny like a virus. They fuck you in the drive-thru.
There's only one other species of creature on your planet.
I love listening to him talk, man.
Hugo Weaving.
Just the way he delivers those lines.
You don't think at one, on one take, Hugo Weaving was like, Morpheus, the ring cannot stay here.
I don't think they had started filming those yet.
The ring cannot stay in Rivendell, Morpheus.
The real thing is, do you think in one take he was just like, it came when I tried to classify your species. You see, you're not actually mammals. And just like set it at normal speed. The problem came when I tried to classify your species. You see, you're not actually mammals. He does the Dr. Palmer thing a lot.
Palmer.
Not actually mammals.
You're not actually Dr. Palmer.
The problem is there's no way to imitate him in this movie without diving straight into like a McConaughey. You're not actually mammals. So this is a cool movie, man. What do you think about are you going to see the new one?
I don't know that I've ever seen the third one, so I might need to go into HBO Max, promo code BACON.
That's not a thing.
It's not a thing. Watch the first three, and then maybe the...
Well, you just watch the first one.
Yeah, but then... I think I've seen the second one. If I haven't seen the second one, I have seen a rendition of that fight with the pole, but everybody is Mario and Luigi. I've seen that.
Your predecessor had much more respect. That was a noise. That was a noise that your microphone was not happy about.
Who's that? Where's Ethan?
Hi, Libby. She can't hear me.
No. You want to hear Ethan?
She get a haircut? Hi, Olivia. Oh, that's okay. Did she get a haircut?
Nope. Uh-oh. It's just straight right now.
Did you straighten it?
No. No. Oh. She just took a nap after her shower, and when she woke up, it was straight.
No.
It's still curled at the ends.
What a bean.
What a bean. Look at her bluey dress.
She's a pretty big bean now.
I know.
Hi.
Can you wave?
She's so precious.
Look, can you wave?
Hi. Hi. Hi, Olivia. Oh, precious thing. She's so sweet. Some cool kids you got, man.
Thanks. Uh-oh.
What is she, Dr. Robotnik?
I'll get you, Sonic.
What is that remote for?
I have puck lights up there.
Ah.
And it turns them on. But they're dead.
Puck lights.
Uh-oh. Puck lights. iPad dead. Olivia, iPad dead. Sorry.
Come retrieve her.
Hey, go listen to your mother.
Go listen to your mother.
Come on. Let's go listen to mommy. Mama.
That kid is so cute.
She is a precious bean. You can't hear me.
I can.
Oh, okay.
She's so freaking sweet.
She is something else, man. How's Finster?
He's so... Oh, man. Him and I have been bonding a lot lately.
Nice.
We've just been hanging out. Just been me and vibing. Finn. Like,
just dude, daddy and son vibe time.
Yeah. So like in the middle of the night, he'll wake up crying and I'll be like, not a vibe. But then I'll go into his room and hold him and just cuddle with him until he passes out. And then I'll play Art of War for like 15 minutes while he's asleep.
I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting to a point where I'm not upgrading fast enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ugh. No, I know.
We're like... I buy as many troops as I can or as high a level as I can. And it's just not just enough,
doesn't
man.
Doesn't do anything. I have whole days where I can't win an arena battle.
Oh, the arena upsets me endlessly.
Yeah, I'll be on a hot streak and then I'll lose 15 in a row. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. Listeners, right, if you don't know what we're talking about, go play Art of War.
There is no promo code. There is no
don't
clan.
Buy anything. Please don't buy anything from them. Their prices are outrageous.
Their prices are completely outrageous. It is absolutely playable.
Man, I played this game the other day. It was like one of those blockbuster games where you bust some blocks.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I was like, I'm having fun with this game. I wonder what the no ad price is. $14.99.
Uh-uh.
$14.99 for no ads. I was like, I deleted it immediately. I was like, no.
They get me from time to time. You know, I love a good time waster game. And it sure gets me off TikTok.
But I'm not paying $14.99 for no ads in a game.
No. But I do usually pay. If it's $2.99, I usually pay.
If it's $2.99, I'll pay. If I play the game for several hours.
Yeah.
Although sometimes I will play three rounds and decide that I want to play it for several hours and I will spend $3.
And not play it for several hours.
No, I will play it for several hours at that point.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to rap on old Matrix.
El Matrix.
El Matrix.
So what I love about the listener score for this movie is that our buddy James Swindell, who's been on this podcast a couple times, has been asking us to review this movie for a long time.
Yeah.
And like, he got so excited when you posted about it, and then he didn't give it a score.
I think you could throw a hundo on there for Jimbo.
I'm not going to do that because I already got the number.
Okay.
I guess I can hang on. I can remultiply.
James has been begging for this one for a long time. And I like this movie. I mean, I like that this movie exists as part of like the movie discussion. I like that it's like sort of like...
Yeah, the MCU would not exist without this movie, so...
No, I know, but like even this, like when you start talking to people who like movies, one of the movies you inevitably talk about is The Matrix.
Right, and you could feel good about talking to it with movie people in ways that you can't talk about like the Boondock Saints.
Yes, yes.
Because it holds up beyond just being a dude bro movie, but it's still kind of a dude bro movie.
Yeah, I really like it. I like that it exists. The world is better.
The world is better for having The Matrix. That being said, Bacon and Eggs listeners gave it an 83 out of 100.
All right, that's higher than I expected.
There were a couple stinker scores in there, man. A couple people didn't like this movie. A couple people liked it a lot. You know, it's so it goes. Such is the way of the world.
Interesting Bacon and Eggs listeners gave it that because that is also what Bacon and Eggs, the algorithm, gives it, an 82.6, which rounds up to an 83.
Where's that put it in the old listo?
Puts it below White Christmas and above Dune.
Okay. I enjoyed this more than Dune.
I don't remember Dune at all.
I remember Oscar Isaac and bagpipes.
I remember Zendaya.
That's okay. But
yeah, I mean, I liked that part of the movie.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, I just like Zendaya.
I mean, that's fair, but like they needed to pick a less recognizable face for that part.
Yeah, I can jive with that answer. So that's the Bacon and Eggs score. 82.6 puts it like number 6 overall in the year. We're getting right on into it.
Getting right on into it. This is the last episode for 2021.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Anyway, Bacon and Eggs listeners, thank you for giving us a great 2021. We hope to see you here and listen and hear you here. Well, not hear you. We hope that you see and listen to us in 2022 and join our Discord and join our Facebook group and give us your opinions and talk about movies with us. We love you and thank you so much for everything. Bacon and Eggs, production of WBNE Podcast Network. For more great podcasts like this one and the one you're listening to, you can go to WBNE.org or search for any of our great shows wherever podcasts can be found. And specific highlight this week, Tyler, who do we want to highlight this week?
Curly Critics.
Yeah, they're film people. They talk about movies and stuff in ways that we don't talk about it. So listen to Curly Critics with Jaden Carey as they talk about movies and books and musicals and all kinds of fun stuff. And there's a preview for that right here.
Hi, I'm Curly and she's Critic and we're the...
No, wait. Our introduction goes like this. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Jade.
And we're the Curly Critics, and we review pop culture every week.
Check us out as we review New Girl,
the Narnia movies,
and coming very soon, Harry Potter.
New episodes out every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts or on WBNE.org.
And don't forget, beavers aren't real.
Our graphics are by Vaishon Brandon, Vaishon Designs on Instagram, and our music is by Andrew Scott Bell, AndrewScottBellMusic.com. For those links are in the description, as well as our social media handles for Bacon and Eggs, and a way to join the Facebook group. On behalf of Tyler Carlin, my name is Ethan Edgehill, and until next week, arrivederci. Until next year, arrivederci.
Agent Smith.